This is Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 26, and today we'll be talking about one piece of sensory processing called interoception. This sense is often forgotten about, misunderstood, or never considered in the first place. When working with or raising kids in general, we often talk about developmental milestones related to this sense. Things like eating, potty training, or even just trying to determine if they're sick can be related to this sense. In kids with sensory processing issues, or at least with an issue in processing issues related to interoception, it can be difficult to figure out how they are actually feeling. Are they hungry? Are they in pain? Are they feeling good? Do they need to use the potty? Kids that have issues with this sense may not be able to answer these questions for you, or they may answer but are still unsure if the answer is correct. Let me explain in more detail. Interoception is the sense of how we are feeling from the inside of our body. For this one, we are talking about what is going on within our body. It is largely a matter of internal organs sending information to our brain for processing. In a typical system, for example, when your bladder is starting to stretch, your bladder sends signals to your brain that let your brain know it's starting to get full. Your brain processes this information and sends signals to your body that you need to use the bathroom. You go to the bathroom and do your business. This is an extremely simplified example. The system is way more complicated than this. However, I'm just trying to make it easier for everyone to understand how this works. The signals between your internal organs and your brain are continuous back and forth. This will let your brain know where we are in the process of getting to the bathroom and finishing the task. This will let your brain know when it is done thinking about the bathroom and the need to go, so it can focus on other things that come up. In a person with issues processing this, the signals are often either too sensitive or not sensitive enough. Before I get into that, let's talk more about which internal systems are potentially involved with this sense. I already mentioned the bladder. Of course, bowels go along with that as well, as you might expect. Other things involved are your stomach. This includes determining if you are hungry, full, or just right. Also, if your stomach is upset or hurting for some reason. In cases when you're sick, it is determining whether you're going to need to vomit. Not to be disgusting here by talking about this, but this is a common topic with kids, especially because for our sake as parents, they need to learn what that feeling is. That way they can get to the bathroom instead of doing it in their bed or on the carpet somewhere in the house. Other areas included in this sense: heart rate, breathing or lung function, itching on the skin, pain or soreness of muscles or joints, headaches, hunger or thirst, determining if they're hot or cold or just right body temperature, emotions which are associated with the ability to self-soothe, happy, scared, sad, angry, tired, and the ability to determine or to be aware of time. In other words, the whole "are we there yet" thing on road trips. They can't determine if it's been 1 minute or 30 minutes since the last time they asked. These are all important functions for getting through each day, so we really need to start remembering this sense more often as part of sensory processing. In kids who are just going through developmental milestones as usual, without any special needs or sensory processing issues, they may not understand their feelings or how things are on the inside either, but this is because they haven't reached the age where they can cognitively understand this yet, so we wouldn't expect them to know these things either. This is different than kids who are at the appropriate age for understanding the concepts, but still don't get it. As with potty training, I wouldn't expect a 12-month-old to understand the internal feelings of their bladder and be able to put it together that they need to go to the bathroom. They are not at the developmental level to where they should know that yet. A lot of the discussion with this sense goes hand in hand with a child's level of understanding or cognitive skill level with problem solving and cause and effect, as well as their ability to communicate with others. These things can make the learning process slower in helping the kids figure out how they are feeling and what they need to do about those feelings from inside their body. However, there are also some pieces of this that we can see starting when they are newborns or infants. An example of this is hunger. Babies typically learn fairly early on, even if they don't completely understand it, which I'm guessing young babies don't really understand this complex system. But they can understand that something in general doesn't feel right, so they cry. They learn that when they cry, they often get their diaper changed and or will be offered food, a bottle or breast in a child who is typically developing. They take the food, and then they feel good. This learning process continues so that as they grow, they remember these experiences and it evolves to where they begin to feel the hunger feeling and they know what it means. So they let their parent know they want to eat. Again, depending on their age, they point to food or verbally ask for it. A child with sensory processing issues could, and most likely does, show signs of this early on as well. They may feel the hungry feeling as a baby, but have a difficult time actually determining where the feeling is coming from within their body. In this situation, they may cry because they know something doesn't feel right, and they may get their diaper changed and also be offered food. They may take the food or not. Why? If they don't take it, they may be too upset already to be able to calm down to take it or self-regulate in order to be able to drink the milk. Or if they're able to work through it enough to take the milk, then they might not feel this unknown hunger feeling anymore afterwards, but they haven't completely put it together that eating and feeling better are related. So next time they have a feeling inside that doesn't feel good, they're basically starting from scratch again. The act of eating and getting full is not associated with that particular feeling of hunger because they have a hard time placing where that feeling is actually coming from within their own body. Another variation of this is where they may have the feeling in their stomach when the feeling is barely even starting. In other words, they are highly sensitive to the feelings and they can put it together where this feeling is coming from. However, in this case, the child has the association down too much, so that at the very first sign of the feeling, they're crying and wanting to eat. This would look like a child who just wants to eat or snack all the time, even though technically they could wait a little bit longer and probably still not actually be hungry to most people's perspective. To go along with this, the full feeling would happen before we would say they're actually full. They're going to be sensitive to this as well and probably stop eating before their belly is really full. This would continue the frequent snacking trend. Finally, a third example is a child who never feels the sensation at all. As babies, they don't cry when they're hungry and they may not be what parents consider a good eater. They often don't really see the point in eating because their body doesn't feel hungry or full. The sensations may be picked up by their internal organs, in this case their stomach, but the processing in their brain doesn't happen or doesn't make it back to their body to tell them if they're hungry or full. These babies might eat very little and seem uninterested in the milk, so they unlatch frequently to where the parent eventually stops trying for that moment, figuring they're just not hungry right now. Or the baby could take the full amount of milk and would probably take another full serving if you kept it coming, because they don't process the full sensation. Or they process it very slowly, so they don't realize they are full until much later after the feeding has ended. I see this a lot in toddlers, where if you keep putting food on their tray, they just keep on eating and eating. The parents basically have to determine when they think the child has had enough. They must be full by now, judging by the volume of food they've eaten. Getting back to some of the other examples, as with the time example, this becomes more apparent as the child gets to be a toddler and older. Again, there's a certain age or developmental level associated with the ability to determine how much time has passed. I think most parents have been through that at least once, although I'm sure more than that. Say you're at the park and you tell your child, "We're leaving in 5 minutes." Then 5 minutes comes and you tell them it's time to leave. They look like it couldn't have been 5 minutes already. I'm not making excuses for kids here because a lot of this one goes along with the whole, "I know it's been 5 minutes, but I'm just not ready to leave" thing. However, for kids with sensory issues, the concept of time could actually be real. This is why as therapists, we often encourage parents to use a visual timer in these instances. You set the timer, whichever kind you prefer to use, and let them see the time start and end. You may still get the behavioral response of not wanting to leave yet, but that is a different matter altogether. The point is showing them using a concrete object like the timer to give them a sense of how long 5 minutes actually is. With a child who doesn't have sensory issues or cognitive delays, they can likely learn this relatively quickly, maybe over the course of a few trips to the park. However, a child with sensory issues may take a lot more repetition before finally getting it, if they ever get it. They may need to rely on a watch or timer to help them determine how much time has passed for much longer than this. Potty training is also a big area for toddlers in general, and when you add difficulties with determining how they feel on the inside of their body, it can make learning how and when to go a more difficult and lengthy process. Before the potty training even begins, we typically look at if the child has a predictable pattern of when they have a wet and soiled diaper. They should start to have a fairly predictable pattern at some point, usually by around 18 months of age or 1.5 years. You may be able to determine that they usually wake up dry in the morning, or that they maybe usually have a wet diaper about 30 minutes after eating lunch. And they might have a soiled diaper around 3 o'clock every day, or at least around the same time every day most of the time. When you start to see these patterns develop, you can start to think about getting serious about potty training. Kids that have issues with interoception may not ever have these patterns. Although sometimes they still do have predictable patterns, it can really go both ways, just depending on which type of sensitivity their body has. So for kids who are highly sensitive to the sensations in their bladder, they will likely show the predictable patterns. These might be kids that actually get potty trained quite easily and will want to go frequently in the bathroom and use the potty. They might barely need to go and just a tiny amount comes out, but that's because they just went 20 minutes ago and haven't actually filled their bladder again. But they're so sensitive to the sensation that any little feeling makes them think they need to go right away. It can take some time and training to help them realize that they can spread out the trips to the potty a little bit more. I don't usually get a lot of questions from parents of kids who get potty trained in this way. I get more of the questions from parents who the potty training process seems to take a very long time, and it seems like they're going to be wearing diapers when they graduate high school. Well, this could be the case for some kids, again, depending on their individual situation. However, that would be pretty extreme and unusual for kids who are only having issues with the sensory processing, but don't have any other diagnoses or delays of some kind. The kids who are unable to feel the sensation in their bladder, or who feel sensations inside their body but are unable to determine exactly what the sensation is and where it's coming from, can take longer than expected to become potty trained. It takes a lot of repetition and consistency to get the job done most of the time in this case. One strategy is to dedicate a time where you can focus on this process without needing to leave the house or do other things in the meantime. Then give the child a drink of something really yummy so that they drink a lot of it at once. Try and get that bladder extremely full. They will need that bladder to be stretching so they can hopefully start to feel the sensation inside their body. Then you hang out in the bathroom area for the next 30 to 45 minutes and wait. You will want to be able to put them on the toilet when they start to go potty. Most of the time, they will not realize that the pee is going to come out until it does. They don't have an association with a feeling inside their bladder and the act of going. You'll need to be diligent in having them close to the toilet for when it happens so that you can help them start to make all of the associations. For one, the feeling that was going on inside them before it happened, the act of going, and of course getting it into the correct place, which is the toilet. Then repeat. Start the drinking process again and continue for as long as you can take it. I would not recommend making the child or trying to make the child sit on the toilet during this whole process. I'm not going to get into the whole ins and outs of potty training in this show, but I wanted to drive home the point of helping them make the connection between the feeling and the act of going, and that you really need to try and get that bladder full in order for them to actually, hopefully, feel the sensation and make the connection between their bladder and brain to process what is going on. It is also helpful to have the child not wearing any clothes or diapers during this. They may need to feel all of the sensations, including when the pee starts to come out, to try and make all of the connections with their body. Of course, I know this is a time-consuming and often tedious task for parents to have to go through, and it may be that the child is not ready yet. So don't stress out if the connection doesn't happen right away. I wouldn't expect it to happen that same day for a child with sensory issues in this area. It could literally take months before it happens. Interestingly, some kids learn when they need to have a bowel movement before they learn the other. The bowel can often feel the sensation there more easily than the bladder. Let's move away from bodily functions now and talk about other things like emotions. Our bodies react to situations when we are excited or scared by increasing heart and breathing rates. In kids with sensory issues, they have these same body reactions but do not recognize the feelings or may not feel them happening. Same goes for a slower heart rate and breathing rate, like when they're calm or tired. This can make it very confusing for kids to gauge what they are feeling. Are you happy, sad, upset, scared? They have a hard time letting you know because they literally can't determine the difference between them. They may not associate the increased heart rate and breathing with fear or excitement. So their body may feel something inside, but they don't always know how to show it on their face. Again, using visual cues here could be helpful. At first, you would use these to try and teach them about the different emotions. You could use pictures with faces on them and giving them the language associated with each emotion. There are some pictures or cards out there that show a person in a situation making a certain facial expression that could be helpful in teaching this. Then you could try and use these pictures in real life situations with the child to try and make the connection that way. I'll have some of these listed on my website today so you can check them out. I feel like there is so much more to say on this topic, but I'm going to stop here for today. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram under Milestones Podcast. Send me a message if you get on there and let me know if you're a listener on this show. I've seen a few messages from people recommending my show to others through Instagram, and I just want to tell you that I really appreciate you helping me get the podcast out there. Thank you so much.